Welcome, friends, to our Maundy Thursday service. Like all services, we begin this service by pausing to remember that in this region, we gather on the lands of the Ngwa'hunwe, human beings forever, with whom we are the peoples of the Upper Canada Treaties of 1764 to 1836. May we live with respect on this land and live in peace, justice, and tolerance with its varied peoples. Amen. Do you remember your last supper before the pandemic? The last meal you had out with friends? The last meal before fear and anxiety ran the conversation? If you had known it was your last, would you have lingered? Would you have ordered dessert? Would you have held your friends' hands and told them how much you loved them? If you had known, would you have washed their feet? Tonight, we gather together because this night was the beginning of the end. This night was Jesus' last supper with his disciples. Take a moment to imagine how Jesus felt. Friends, with all of this in mind, I invite you to join me in our opening words. Tonight we will hear, again and again, of a love that knows no bounds. May we be fully present here. May we worship Holy God. The closer and closer we get to the crucifixion, the more earnest our prayers of confession feel. For we know that what was done to Jesus, betrayal, humiliation, violence, and death, are things that we do to each other all the time. So with all earnestness, a sense of urgency, and a deep hope for transformation, we return to this prayer of confession once again, trusting that the God who holds the stars in the sky is holding us tonight. Let's confess together. Holy God, who holds us together, if I were to place myself at your table, I would probably be Peter, misunderstanding your radical hospitality, sticking to the rules, arguing what I do and don't deserve. Then again, it's possible I'd be Judas, the one who betrayed you, the one who failed to see the good right in front of him, the one who might have thought he wasn't worthy of your love. If I were to place myself at your table, it's possible I would be one of the unnamed disciples, watching but not speaking, silently missing the opportunity to tell you what I believe and how much I love you. If I were to place myself at your table, I am confident that I would have made the same mistakes your well-intentioned disciples made. There's no surprise there. What is surprising is that I know you would have washed my feet nonetheless. So forgive me, God. Wash not just my feet, but my hands and my head also. Amen. Well, there is good news, family of faith. And that good news is that Jesus knew that Peter would deny. He knew that Judas would betray. And he knew the disciples would hide in fear. And still, he invited them in. He washed their feet, and he fed them. Friends, we worship the living Christ, whose love shocks, surprises, and far exceeds our understanding of love. So may the story tonight remind us, no matter who we are, no matter where we go, no matter how great our mistakes or regrets are in life, we will always be invited in and held together by the living God. Again and again and again, we are forgiven. Again and again and again, we are held. Amen. Let's listen as Rosemary plays, "An Upper Room Did Our Lord Prepare."
An upper room did our Lord prepare for those he loved until the end. lasting gift Jesus gave his own to share his bread, his loving cup. Whatever burdens may bow us down, grieved by his cross shall lift us up.
Let us pray. Jesus of Nazareth, if the disciples had known that the Last Supper would be their last meal with you before the crucifixion, I bet they would have listened differently. I bet they would have put down their arguments and leaned in with their whole bodies. I bet they would have asked questions and halted the small talk. I bet they would have taken notes and hung on your every word. Jesus of Nazareth, I want to listen like that. I want to listen like tonight might be the last time you speak. I want to listen like everything could change tomorrow. I want to listen like my soul depends on it. So gracious God, clear away anything in me that might distract. Clear away anything in me that might hinder my hearing and receiving your word. I am listening. We are listening. With hope and honesty we pray. Amen. I'm reading from the book of John, chapter 13, verses 1 to 17, 31b to 35. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, he got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you will have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus replied, "One who has bathed does not need to wash, except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
Author Brené Brown talks about love as an action. She's not alone. When I was in high school, I remember a Christian music group called DC Talk came out with a song that called Love is a Verb. The idea is far from new, but it's a good reminder. And it's very much what Jesus was getting at in washing his disciples' feet that last evening he spent with them. Not only does he wash their feet, the job usually reserved for a servant, but he also invites them in to eat and leaves them with the commandment, love one another as I have loved you. Jesus wasn't just talking about warm, fuzzy emotions, but the difficult work of loving each other. The work that Jesus displayed throughout his entire life, healing, teaching, showing signs and wonders, washing the filth, literal and metaphorical, that had accumulated throughout the day, welcoming folks, feeding folks. These are the ways that Jesus loved. These are the ways that we are called to love in turn. These are the ways in which we experience God's love for us and for each other, remembering that we are all worthy of God's love, a love that holds us together. Reverend Lyle Gwynn Garrity of A Sanctified Art tells of her experience of a love so profound when she was a child in middle school and went to visit her mom in the hospital for the first time. Her mom was dying of cancer. And as she walked into the room fresh out of middle school basketball practice, Lyle's mom said to her daughter, "Take off your shoes. Let me rub your feet." She needed to ask a second time because Lyle was hesitant, and she said, "Let me rub your feet." It was then that Lyle climbed up onto her hospital bed and let her mom take off her shoes and her sweaty socks, and in Lyle's own words, gently massaged away the anxieties building within the room. She notes that even in the face of imminent death, her mom was determined to hold her family close. And she savored those moments, her mom savored those moments of service to others. An experience of profound love. Friends, we are called to love one another. Love as an action, not simply a feeling. Over the past year, we as a church and as individuals have had to change the way we show love to folks outside of our household. We have risen to that challenge. We have loved each other in a variety of ways. We've learned how to love each other by keeping physically distant, by wearing our masks, by getting our vaccine, by washing our hands, by making phone calls, by creating online communities, by dropping off food and care packages, by mailing cards or sending a text message, by working with the Feed My Sheep program to offer prepackaged lunches at the Agape Center, just to name a few ways we've done this. My friends, I invite you to consider, what are some ways that you can live the love that Jesus has shown you in your lifetime? How can you share that with others? Something to think about this week. May we continue to find ways to love each other and make space for each other in our world. Amen. Let's listen as Rosemary plays Jesu, Jesu, fill us with your love.
Jesu, Jesu, fill us with your love, show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. Kneels at the feet of his friends, silently washes their feet. serve the neighbors we have from you. Neighbors are rich and poor, varied in color and race. Neighbors are near and far away. Jesu, Jesu, fill us with your love. Show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. We should serve. These are the ones we should love. All our neighbors to us and you. Jesu, Jesu, fill us with your love. Show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you.
We are each a tapestry of stories. We are our stories of fear and grief, as well as our stories of love and joy. We believe that God sees all these interwoven truths and says to our fragile selves, come in. Come in from the cold. Come in from the rain. Come in from wherever you are and be here tonight. We believe that God then pours warm water into a basin to wash off the weariness of the day, the bruises of the past, and the doubt that clings to us. We believe that this act is an act of love. Similarly, we believe that God says to us, eat, and God shares of God's self, and it's food not just for our bodies, but for our souls. We believe that all this happens every time we close our eyes and imagine God. And every time we close our eyes and imagine God, we believe the parts of our tapestry that feel worn and frayed are held together. So today, we remember. Today, we say thank you. Today, we know we are held together. Amen.